From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, December 16th, 2025. Another child has died after being struck by a school bus, this time in Standish. 5-year-old Simon Gonzalez was killed this morning after being hit less than a half mile from Edna Libby Elementary School, according to MSAD 6 Superintendent Clay Gleason. One other student was on the bus at the time, according to the Cumberland County Sheriff's Office. Edna Libby administrators dismissed students earlier today, but all other schools in the district continued as scheduled. After school activities were also canceled. The crash is under investigation by the Cumberland County Sheriff's Office. This is the second fatal school bus crash involving an elementary-age student in the past month. Maine utility regulators are expanding a program that helps low-income houses pay electric bills. As Peter McGuire reports, the change will add millions of dollars in benefits and potentially make thousands of people eligible for assistance.
Funding for the program will jump 50% to $33 million a year. And the Public Utilities Commission says that could allow 20,000 more customers to participate. And it will move to a monthly discounted rate instead of lump sum payments a few times a year. Commissioner Patrick Scully.
I think this is a very significant step forward in making this program work more efficiently in expanding it, making it available to more low-income customers.
Maine's Department of Health and Human Services will also start automatically enrolling eligible people in the program next year. The changes come amid sharply rising electricity prices in Maine and a new focus on affordability from policymakers. The program expansion goes into effect next year. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
After more than 2 years of bargaining, the University of Maine Graduate Workers Union has reached a tentative agreement with the university system. The agreement includes an increase in stipends, contributions from the university for health insurance, protections for immigrant workers, and more. Peter Howell is a member of the union's bargaining committee and a PhD student in forest resources.
We really see these wins in this tentative agreement as a direct result of our relentless organizing and solidarity for years, that this only came about because hundreds of grad workers continued to show up and work tirelessly.
In a joint statement, University of Maine President Joan Farini-Mundi and Chancellor Daniel Malloy said the agreement is responsive to the needs of roughly 900 graduate workers and reflects the increasingly constrained fiscal resources of the university system. The graduate students will vote to ratify the agreement this week. If approved, it will then go to the university system Board of Trustees. Former attorney and Maine political candidate Elliot Cutler was back at a Hancock County court today to answer charges that he violated his probation. As Kevin Miller reports, Cutler could be forced to serve time in prison for possession of sexually explicit images involving children.
During a brief exchange with a judge, Cutler denied violating any of the terms of his probation stemming from his 2023 conviction. Cutler ran twice for governor as an independent and came within 10,000 votes of winning in 2010. But more than a decade later, police allegedly found tens of thousands of sexually exploitative pictures and videos of children on Cutler's electronic devices. He served 7 months in jail and was given 6 years of probation. But his probation officer alleges that Cutler violated those terms by accessing sexually explicit materials online earlier this year and by connecting to the internet through devices that were not being actively monitored. Cutler, who's 79, is due back in court on January 26th. If his probation is revoked, he could have to serve the remaining 39 months of his original 4-year prison sentence. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Portland Mayor Mark Dion warned that difficult budget decisions are coming next year as the city will have to balance the growing costs of providing public services with federal budget cuts. In his annual State of the City speech last night, Dion said the social safety net is eroding for many Portlanders and that the city must be responsive.
The horizon for those on fixed incomes is bleak, and for many of our elders, it may turn out to be impossible for them to hold on. Washington decisions always play out on a local stage.
Diane also called for changes to the city's needle exchange program, which currently allows as many as 100 clean needles to be distributed for every used one returned. And he urged city officials to bring school resources officers back to Portland Public Schools. Residents in the town of Maxfield voted last night to start deorganizing the town. Amber Bubar is on a 5-member committee to create a plan for how the town's services will be provided by Penobscot County. She says fixing Maxfield's roads is a priority.
It's going to be a process, but it's kind of a light at the end of the tunnel, because we know that if we kept it as Maxfield town of, there is no way that we could get these roads taken care of as they should be.
The deorganization plan also involves separating from the school district. Deorganization is a 12-step process, after which residents will vote on becoming part of Maine's unorganized territory. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, how Mainers get their news. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.